This is Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
My Lord Ali, and welcome to Nation Footy, the best place to hear the latest stories and scores from our Melanesia, Polynesia, Micronesia town across the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me every week is the Cook Island, Kevin Hart, Tinirau Arona.
What did you just say, Tinirau?
No, I got caught up with the big Kev. Tinirau Arona.
Thank you. Kia ora to you listening, and bula vanaka to you, Sam. You are now quarter Fijian.
Yep.
Because you've spent that much time in Fiji over the last couple weeks, but you managed to come here to share this moment here on Nation Footy with us. What a man, and what a job you have.
Someone's got to do it. Someone has to do it, and I'm always willing to put my hand up and take a break from the kids for a little bit.
Yeah, if it's not you, then who else, eh?
Exactly right.
But today, mate, I'm looking forward to chatting some Nation Footy. We've got, mate, our first PNG guest. Athlete, young man. He's just made his debut, NRL debut, less than 2 weeks ago for the North Queensland Cowboys. He signed at the Melbourne Storm as a 17-year-old, and he just didn't last long in that environment. So I'm really looking forward to, trying to get to understand why he didn't suit that environment. So, yeah, looking forward to speaking to, I didn't even say his name, Robert Derby.
Yeah, can't wait to hear his story. And T, in some fun news this week, as well as being broadcasted on ABC Radio Australia to the islands, from now on, we're also available to listen wherever you get your podcast. Nation Footy to the masses.
We're making it.
Make it big. All platforms. Streaming it on all platforms. Nation Footy is there. Outstanding.
How good.
Moment of the week.
Each week, we like to start our show with the moment of the week. And I believe, Sam, you've got us this episode.
I do have us this episode. And as you mentioned earlier, I was in Fiji. And just to make note, I hate being away from my kids. All right, I just want to make my wife listen. I miss them dearly when I'm away. Wife, okay, I'm back now. All good.
That's my last trip. That's not what you said to me before the show, mate.
She's a listener of the show. Please, I miss you, bub. Love you, everything. Nah, obviously, being in Fiji for the week, it was an amazing trip. A couple of reasons why. Obviously, the Fijian Drua have made history by making the quarterfinals for that game. They're doing the commentary. But I was also there for Vuvale Week, which was, the guys like Radiki Samo and Lotte Tungiri were over there just celebrating rugby union and giving back to the communities that were affected by the cyclones that happened earlier on in the year. And It was beautiful because the fact that they got to, go back to villages that they haven't been before and do some clinics, create some awareness and just have a bit of fun along the way and give out some footies and all that type of stuff. But one of the big moments that was a highlight for me was the Fijian deaf rugby team. We had the coach of the Australian one, Dave Keasley. He was there as well to help out. And that was such an experience, I think. Very hard to describe when you go to a footy environment and you don't hear any noise.
Yeah.
All of it was all sign language, obviously, but just even when you do something like have a good job, when you go, yeah, good job, and you're clapping, yeah, that was outstanding. It's like none of that, like to be able to show that it was a good job. It's all your hands in the air above your head and you're just waving. That's signaled as clapping. And just looking at how the head coach, Dave, how he had to really simplify the training sessions, just basic moves. And, I was spinning out just the fact that very, very, just a very weird feeling on, because you're so used to, like, the energy's different. Comms is such a big one in team sport, so you know which way to go. So everything is just reliant on sign language, touch and feel.
What was the week called, sorry?
Vuvale Week.
What does that mean?
Thanks, T. You've stumbled.
sorry, mate. I actually wanted. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Nah, you're all good. Thanks. I should have had more homework on that.
Well, actually, I've just done a bit of research, and it means my home is your home in Fiji. So There you go, mate, my quarter Fijian friend.
Thanks for Googling that for me. See, it saved me. Amazing experience. And they gave me a sign name as well. So one of the if you're 100% deaf, you've got the opportunity to give someone a sign name. So putting your pinkies together means S. And then because I wear my hair with a headband pulled back, so if I do pinkies together, pull my hair back, that's my sign name.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, really cool experience.
This is Nijin Footy.
As we do each week, we talk about the footy, and there's no bigger game than the State of Origin. There's two moments in Australia where this whole country sits still. It's during the Melbourne Cup race and when Queensland are playing New South Wales Blues. And, unfortunately, as a New South Wales Blues fan, you know, Queensland got the job done again, as they always do. They just seem to find that fire in their belly. But quick rundown on the game. I felt like New South Wales, they came late to the party, giving poor discipline, giving away two penalties, which led to two tries. By the time they turned up, they were behind, 10-0. I mentioned last week about that Penrith combination. I believe that that's where New South Wales scored their tries. It went through ex-Panther Alpi to Nathan Cleary to Jerome Luai for Liam Martin to get straight through that defensive line.
Just so you mentioned they were late to the party. Obviously, the prep, the hype, everything about it, it seemed like the mentality was to bash Queensland and disrupt them a little bit, especially guys like Reece Walsh at fullback. They put it up for him and all these elbows came in. Do you reckon it just was a bit like paper, just fizzled out? You know, they probably had the fire there, but it just fizzled out.
Yeah, once fatigue kicked in and once you know, when you're giving away that much territory through poor discipline with penalties, then you start getting tired and then all that aggressive, little cheap shots they're irrelevant. But Queensland actually moved the ball around as well. They were playing good footy, but moving it from side to side, moving that defensive line of the Blues. So I mentioned the Penrith combination and, during the weekend, during the Panthers game, Nathan Cleary's had to come off with a suspected hamstring injury, which could put him on the sidelines for a while. So
that's huge.
Does that mean they have to change that whole spine? Sorry, Jerome Luai, just because of that Panther combination that they do have and the halfback that they do put in there, do they find a six that's suitable to that halfback? I don't know. That's why I'm not a selector.
do they go to Nico or do they bring someone like Reynolds in, been there before? Is it Moses? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is I'm not a Blues selector, so I don't really want to put my...
Come on, mate. 14 years of professional rugby league. Give me something.
All right, I would go Adam Reynolds because he's killing it for Broncos at half. And then one of the sixes that would best suit him, whether it be Nico Hines or Jerome Loy.
Okay.
There's my pick.
You heard it first. There it is.
And in the 68th minute, they went down to 12 men due to a player getting sent off. And then they still managed to score two tries to win the game. Just having that Queensland mentality, no idea how. But, to score two tries against the New South Wales Blues in the last 7 minutes to win the game just shows their determination, their passion for their state. And I believe Blues just need to pick up the game for Origin 2.
I just want to make it interesting. That's what they're here to do. Take it to Game 2, then go to Game 3. New South Wales win the series.
In the NRL, all NRL games are on ABC Radio Australia. And I managed to watch the Brisbane Broncos beat the Cronulla Sharks at Shark Park, which is always a hard place to go down and get that win. A player that stood out for me, Katoni Staggs. He took 18 carries for 222 metres. He made 8 tackle breaks and scored the opening try for the Brisbane Broncos.
Brayley comes back to the left-hand side now. Moylan, a little deft kick. Too deft. It's picked up by Ricky and the Broncos are away. Ricky towards halfway. Kennedy's chasing him, coming cross-field. Ricky's still going the second rower. Goes the fend on Kennedy. Kennedy tries again, slows him down, stops him 10 out. Great chase from Will Kennedy. And Ricky will play here, though, with 5 tackles left here for the Brisbane Broncos. And it's with Katoni Staggs, who backs his way in to score. And off the back of that great run from Jordan Ricky, Staggs has the first 4 points of the night for the Brisbane Broncos. 4-0 kick to come.
And what about the Cowboys?
Oh, They go, the Cows, didn't see that one coming.
They could put a cricket score on Melbourne Storm. You know, I'm pretty sure Craig Bellamy wouldn't be happy about that one. Cowboys winning 45-20. And another Fijian flying winger. Yes, another one.
Not We're another
about
one.
To announce another one. Semi Valame. Valame? Semi Valame.
Valame.
He scores a hat-trick on his club debut.
2 metres shy. Great run from Dearden. Last play. Robson passes to the right. Townsend. Harbour Bridge pass. Knocked on by the Storm. Hiku takes it. Gives to Valame. What a story. A hat-trick in his first game as a Cowboy. As Semi Valame puts North Queensland back in front. What a debut.
Semi, tell me what the secret is with these Fijian flying wingers.
I tell you right now, I actually, after that, we did the coaching with the deaf rugby team. I stayed back on at Albert Park, played one touch with the Fijian community there. Lights were very, there was no lights actually. It was starting to get dark. Ball was so slippery. It was like a cake of soap. It was raining as well. And the boys weren't even wearing shoes. They were slipping, sliding, but they were sliding through, taking holes, and then just still staying on their feet, well-balanced, flicking it out the back. Can't even see the ball. Someone picks it up and scores. I'm just going, okay, this is why the Fijians are so good with speed, footwork, and just being able to catch any ball that comes their way.
I would have loved to see you in that game, or in that little touch game. And I bet you these were kids that you were playing.
No, it was a mix of adults and kids. And to be honest, some of them probably were kids but looked like adults. They were massive as well.
Well, there you go. There's the secret to the Fijian flying wingers. And off to the Queensland Cup. Yes, the PNG Hunters have beaten the Tweed Seagulls 34-18 in Port Moresby. We've been waiting for this moment for a few weeks now, and they have got that W.
Up the Hunters.
In the Ron Massey Cup, Cavite Silktails also get another win, 34-12. They beat the Canterbury Bulldogs in Nadi, Fiji. And
Can you get up, mate?
Nadi?
It's not Nadi.
What is it then?
Nandi.
Well, you don't even know what the meanings of some Fijian words are.
It doesn't mean I can't pronounce the words. Say Kotoni Stags again. Kotoni.
Kotoni Stags.
Hey, apologies to all our listeners. We are getting there.
And that's me for the Rugby League. Off to the Rugby Union.
Yes.
Sammy.
Yes. Kick it off. Rugby Union, big week. The Super Rugby rounds are finished and we're into the business end of the season. Let's just kick off with the draw straight away. 41-17 over the Reds to now cement their spot in the quarterfinals. Historic first for the Fijian draw to be able to get in there. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Only been in the competition for 2 years and they've already made a quarterfinal with the lack of resources that they have, the amount of travelling, just everything about it, the resilience they've had to show. But having the country behind your team and the energy that was at Suva is something I haven't really felt before, like just being in a crowd. It was amazing to see, and the emotion that was pouring out of the fans when they could sense that they got the victory with about 10 minutes to go. Big smoking Joe Tamani flying away. 40 metres, and you just saw every single Fijian fan on their feet, flags waving, and the celebration. The crowd was just going off. I nearly lost my headphones in the commentary box because you're supposed to stay neutral in the commentary box. You know, you can't go for either team, but yeah. I was riding him home to score that try. But pretty amazing scenes, and it was a big week as well. Condolences to the Mick Burns family, who's the head coach of the Fijian Drua. His father passed away during the week. He had the opportunity to go home, but he said, look, my family is over there and I'll be able to get to them, but I also have family here in Fiji that are going to get me through this as well. So condolence to his family. And I think for the draw moving forward, it's going to be a tough game against the Crusaders over there in Christchurch. Very tough game, but in terms of whatever, no matter the result, it's a perfect way to say that the Fijian draw needs to be in Super Rugby because it was amazing.
Here's a question for you. What was the win-loss ratio for the draw of the season?
Well, the Drua, they end up with 6 wins to be able to get into the quarterfinals. For that game, everything needed to go their way. It's actually funny talking to Lotte Takiri, Radiki Samoa before the game. They were saying that the Fijian Angels are going to be on the side of the Drua this week because it started raining. Like, it was torrential rain there. And so the Reds actually thought those conditions were going to suit them.
Yeah.
But like Lotte and that were just going, nah, the Fijian Angels are with them. You know, the results have gone their way. So they needed the Brumbies to win. They also needed the Chiefs to win. Those results happened. And then the Drua needed to win themselves. They not only won, they won with a bonus point for the very first time. And it was incredible just to see the celebrations. It's going to be, as I said, it's going to be tough in Christchurch. But no matter what they've done themselves proud. And I'm glad that they've got a quarterfinals berth. Finally, Tote Kefu, the current Ikaletahi coach for Tonga. He is going to be finishing up at the World Cup this year. Just inducted into the Queensland Hall of Fame for rugby. He's put his hand up to wanting to coach the Queensland Reds because Brad Thorne is finishing up at the end of this season. And he said it's his dream job to coach the Queensland Reds.
Hi, I'm Tim Lafayle. I'm from New Zealand. I'm from New Zealand. Lafayle Timoshi. I'm from ABC Radio. I'm from New
The Cross Code Poach.
Sammy, I believe you've got us this week on the Cross Code Poach, where we take a player from each other's code, and you, rugby union player, is going to steal one of my rugby league players and tell me why. Off you go, Sammy.
Well, hopefully this does come true at some point. I would love for this to happen. And I'm actually not stealing him directly. I'm taking him back to the game they play in heaven. Okay, so this guy has been on fire since leaving the Cowboys. He's gone to the Dolphins. He's scoring a plethora of tries every single week, carved up for Queensland. Do you know who I'm talking about?
The one who does the old shark, the sharky sign.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's fins up for the Dolphins, but it's not. It's for his shark sign. And it is the man himself, Hamiso Tabuai Fido. That is who I'm taking from rugby league.
The hammer.
The big hammer. It is, look, where do I start? He's gone from North Queensland Cowboys. Wayne Bennett's shown a lot of faith in him. Playing at fullback. And he's just been dominating. Everyone was probably thinking, is it a flash in the pan? But every week this year, he has consistently turned up and performed. Speed, athleticism. He's got an AFL background. He was hunted by the Gold Coast Suns. So his aerial skills will suit rugby union. Put him on the wing or even at fullback. But I think initially on the wing, he'll be able to like take those high balls easy in those contestables, which is important in rugby union. He's also a Reds development player. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't read about it. It wouldn't be a headline.
Surprise,
he started
surprise.
In rugby union. And for some reason, there was no opportunity for him in rugby union to be a superstar, but then becomes a superstar in rugby league.
We've had this conversation that many times.
Is this on repeat?
Yes. It's a common theme. It is a very common theme.
I just don't know how we keep losing these type of players.
So you'd play him on the wing in rugby union?
A wing fullback? I think eventually I'd get him at fullback. I just think that him entering in the line in attack at some point, you know, I think all good fullbacks, they come in and enter in the line, especially close to the line where they end up being that second ball player or third ball player to throw that cutout to the winger.
Yep.
I think he would be able to do that job really well. I think he would be a second, third ball player when he needs to. Broken play, I think he'll be amazing, especially on turnover attack. When you're at fullback, when there's a turnover, because he's already defending back there, usually get the ball, first pass goes to your halfback. So if I'm a forward and I receive the turnover, my job is not to run forward and take that space. It's to be able to find the halfback who's sort of defending just behind, and then he finds the fullback flying into the line. So I think that's where you'd see him absolutely carve up. Get some turnovers, get him in broken play, let him unleash.
I've seen one play in the last week that kind of explains what you were just trying to say there. That last try that he scored for Queensland, you know, when he
gassed
the Fox, gave him the Greg Inglis don't argue, straight in the chest, gasses, so runs past the Fox, and then he's in James Tedesco's coming across, New South Wales captain, and he just swerved inside and Tedesco slips over. He goes and scores that last try. But to have that balance, to have that speed, I always think that there's about five fullbacks in rugby union when I'm watching the game. So when they do make that break, they don't just run and score a try. They have to defend, run around at least one or two defenders.
Exactly right. Like, it's not like a big step, you know, like the big Benji step. He needs to be able to be moving at pace and just swerving, changing direction. You're exactly right. The way he sort of swerved his hips at speed made Tedesco slip over. That's why I'm getting him to rugby union.
Nesian footy.
Here we have our legendary, our superstar, Shelley Long, PNG Orchids superstar, playing for the North Queensland Cowboys, coming off, or actually going through her pre-season for the NRLW season that's coming up. Here we have
the long story short with Shelley Long.
Talk to us. How has the pre-season been so far since we last spoke?
Hey, guys. Pre-season. It's definitely tough, and I've definitely left my lungs out on the field a few times.
So what are we, one down, six to go?
Six to go. So first week of preseason done, six more to go, and then we'll start round games. So it's a lot longer preseason than normal, which is good. It means we get more time to grow as a team, more time to grow as a group, and more time to develop as well.
I've seen on China Pilata's Instagram post, she came straight back from camp for Queensland, straight into Castle Hill?
Yeah, the Castle Hill. Oh, my goodness. You know, I said last week that I thought we were going to run it, and I had prepared myself for Castle Hill, and then they had the 1.2 out on the Saturday.
Oh, the Bronco? Thought,
before it?
Yeah, so before it they had the cone set out, and I was thinking, I'm not mentally prepared for this 1.2. I'll do it. I'll get it done, but I've prepared myself for the hill. And we did the warm-up, and then he goes, joking, guys, put your joggers on, we're running up the hill.
Oh, the mind games. For our listeners, the 1.2 is cone, so 20, 40, 60 metres, and you have to go out 20 and back, out 40 and back, out 60 and back, times five. It's a very tough test, especially when you're on that third or fourth lap and your mind just starts taking over. But in terms of the Castle Hill, how long does it take to run up it?
Well, the boys do it in about 16, 17 minutes. And I think our time was, I think, around the 30 minutes. But Craig Bellamy passed us up on the way up on Castle Hill. Wow.
Running or driving up?
He was running.
Holy.
I know. Some of the community members who were walking down the hill were making comments that he beat me up the hill.
Do you know how old he is?
63.
He's 63.
Is he?
Yes.
And yes.
He's beating the professional ladies up the hill.
Oh, then that doesn't sound too good, but yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Smashing it.
What a champion.
Yeah, that's why he's the best.
And where were you in the pack? Were you at the front?
I was somewhere up the front.
Were you in front of your competitors in your position?
I actually, me and someone in my position, we pretty much ran it together and we just pushed each other up along. So I think it was good that I had someone else there. But we pretty much just did post to post. So you're going to walk it eventually. If you've ever been to Townsville, you'll know how steep of an incline the hill is. So we were just picking post to post to run to. Then we'd give ourselves a little time to walk post to post.
Well, Shelley, obviously don't peak too early. There's plenty of time, 6 weeks. They can't skin fold a heart, you know, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. Okay, what's on the inside? Peak at the right time, she'll be right.
That's the first time I heard that. Can't skin fold a heart.
Can't skin fold a heart, mate. That's what
I know. I like it.
Hey, that's what we all use for the ones that were down the back. But anyway, talk to us about what's going on in the women's game so far.
So State of Origin was on Thursday night. What an amazing game it was to watch. It looked a little bit slippery out there, though, a few drop balls, but all in all, it was great physicality from both teams. Queensland beat New South Wales 18 points to 10. We've got a few talking points out of that. So Julia Robinson, I don't know if you guys saw during the game, but Isabel Kelly actually went off. She's being placed on report, and it looks like she might miss 1 to 2 games. If she does, there is the opportunity that China Pallada might debut in Townsville.
How good. And did she go off for a HIA? Was it a head knock?
No, she went for a throat injury.
That's right. That was an elbow to the throat, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Julia Robinson's come up with the arm at sort of an angle, which isn't allowed in the game, and it's gone directly to Isabel Kelly's throat. So she went straight to hospital, I think, at halftime.
Oh, scary injury. That's one that Andrew Fifita had.
Yeah.
And then even like Darren Lockie and that with the croaky voice. So hopefully Isabel Kelly, it's not too bad for her, and she's back very soon.
Yeah, there was talks that Samaima Taufil might be ready for the second game of State of Origin as well. Kylie Hilda mentioned that she should be fine to play. So that's looking hopeful for Samaima. But the Blues will need to make some improvements leading into round two as well.
What was your take on the game in terms of Queensland and the way they showed up? New South Wales, did they fail to deliver?
I think it was a tough game. I think the weather conditions really played a part in it. There was a lot of drop balls and a lot of errors in that game, but also quite a few penalties. I think Sarah Togatuki, she got put on report a couple of times and she got taken off the field as well quite early on. So I don't think they capitalised too much on what they could have done to perform the Blues. But it'll be interesting going into game two.
Queensland look really good with their shape and their skill execution. I thought the tries that they did score were off the back of some really good team tries where they're passing the ball through the hands, had the right depth and getting that overlap on the outside. You can tell they've definitely been training for that or just have that team chemistry.
Yeah, I definitely think that they've worked a lot on the pace. I think after the last couple of years, that was something that they needed to execute well going into the first game. And obviously, once you win the first game, you've got a bit of confidence going into game two. So I think Queensland definitely did well to take that win out.
Record crowd, 12,000 people there at Paris Stadium. What do you think it's going to be like up in Townsville for the next one?
I think it's going to be a great turnout here. You know, in Townsville, there's only one stadium for the whole of North Queensland, so I think there'll definitely be a lot of attendance. Even walking around here and talking to some of the locals, they've already got tickets to the game. Their daughters have tickets. It's exciting to see, exciting for Townsville as well to have the first ever game of State of Origin for the women's here.
And for Blues to take out the series, they have to win for more than 8 points?
Yes. So I've actually got a question for you guys. Do you think that the scoreboard should have 8-0 or have nil all?
Ooh, I like the 8-0 looks just, all right. chasing down that score.
That's a good question. Yeah, just that would be weird running out straight away, kick off and you're already down 8-0.
They do it in cricket.
Do they?
Yeah, when they put the scores, they do, eh? Like in their second innings, they have their first innings scores up. So they know
on test match cricket, yeah.
Oh, that you don't play cricket in Tonga, eh? Sorry.
Oh, because the Cook Islands are killing it in cricket, are they? When we finish here, we're going to get into the nets. I'm going to throw a couple of wrong-ins, come off the back fence. We'll see how you hit them.
You can't stop this yorker.
Mate, please. Anyway, sidetrack. But I do like that thought, 8-0. I reckon you should put it up there. That's what happens when you lose the first one. Well, I watched the game with Lottie Takiri, the men's and the women's one. It was just, he just had a humble look over, just a little smile, wink. And I was like, all right, mate, we get it.
it'll be exciting going into the game too for the women's. obviously New South Wales will have that 8 points in their head that they need to beat Queensland by at least 9 points to win. But fingers crossed for Queensland. I'm backing them. They've done well the first game. I've got to back them again for the second.
Coaching hat on for New South Wales. Do you talk about the 8 points or do you just focus on just winning first and whatever happens?
I feel like you have to mention the 8 points. Like the 8 points is your do or die really in winning this series. So you've got to talk about it at some point because mentally it's going to be challenging for the Blues. They've got to overcome that mental side of it that they're going in and they're already losing. As bad as that sounds, but I think you talk about it. I think it is necessary to talk about it.
What else has been happening?
Nothing else in the rugby league side of things, but the Oceania Rugby League Champions wrapped up yesterday afternoon. Samoa has made history at the Oceania Rugby Championships, where they secured their first ever regional title. So Samoa had an excellent campaign. They beat Fijiana 19 points to 18 in the final minutes of their game as well. So Samoa will now head to South Africa to compete in October.
Thanks again, Shelley, for another great segment on the long story short.
Thanks, guys.
Yo, yo, I'm Fuleti Mateo, and you're listening to Legion Footy on ABC Australia.
Today on the show, we have a young PNG man making his way in the NRL, Robert Derby. Robert has played for the Kumuls and debuted only recently in the NRL with the Cowboys. He was also signed to the Storm as a 17-year-old. Robert, thanks for coming on the show here on Legion Footy. Appreciate you, brother.
No, I appreciate the call.
Let's go straight to the beginning. Where were you born and can you tell us a bit about your upbringing?
So I was born in Port Moresby. The funny thing is, though, when my mum was pregnant with me, she was in the mountains, like in the highlands in Mendy. So that was basically, like, I grew up a bit in Mendy, like a bit of everywhere, really, but mainly in Morobe, in a village in Busama. But that's where my mum's originally from, and I grew up kind of around there, but I was born in Port Moresby. Yeah, when my mum was pregnant, she had to fly down from Mendy, get birth, and then came back up. And then I kind of, because my dad's a civil engineer as well in PNG, so he always moved around a lot, and me and mum basically just followed him with my brothers and sisters. And then after that, we moved to Australia, but I had to keep coming back and forth from PNG living. So I was going to school in PNG and Australia until, I was finally like 8 years old, and then I fully moved over to Cairns.
The bouncing around and sort of our brief knowledge on PNG with the different languages and dialects that are around, did you have to speak multiple dialects and go on with English as well? How did that go for you and your family?
In PNG, everyone speaks Pidgin. Like, everyone will speak Pidgin. And then you have your own, like, language from your village or province that you're at. But, I spoke Pidgin fluent here. And then, because my mum's, we always speak Pidgin in our house.
How good.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Do you have any choice but play rugby league being in PNG? Like, is it just because it's so fanatical? Is that the only option you have?
There's a few options, but, man, everyone just loves it there. And they just go crazy. And, yeah, everyone's just in the spirit of it, like, you always like walking through the streets and all you see is footy, really. Like, you see the Hunters. I think AFL's starting to kick up a bit in PNG, but I guess soccer and league was the main sport.
Can you give us some examples of what it's like for a young PNG boy growing up with rugby league, like in terms of the ground you play on, having boots or no boots or footies? Can you elaborate more on that?
I'm pretty lucky that I've had parents that are been financially stable and able to like support us and always get us footies and stuff. But as a kid, sometimes we'd have like little water bottles and you just empty the water bottle kind of. And I don't know, we literally played with anything we could, but yeah, probably that. I know some people like use coconuts, but we mainly use just water bottles sometimes if we didn't have a ball or anything. And then I know the grounds and stuff is really different. It's always like holes and stuff everywhere. Sometimes it's barely any grass in the fields, and the posts, in some villages they use bamboo. So they use bamboo and they make the posts out of bamboo and like they keep it there, and it's pretty crazy. And when you're like, say sometimes when you're kicking goals and stuff, you just get sand and put it up and make your own like little tee and stuff and kick it. When we actually had a footy though, yeah, there's always one at least one kid in the village that has a footy, and that it just, everyone just gets together and plays.
It's crazy, so, man. Mad.
Were you always talented growing up with the rugby league skills, or is this something that you just worked hard on over a long period of time?
I think I was pretty athletic when I was a little kid, and I was always like when I think I was like 12 and I was making footy teams, but then as I got a bit older, 13 till I was about 16, I wasn't really making many like rep teams for footy. And I guess like, cause I was a bit skinnier then, and I was like, I wasn't as big as the other boys, and I was kind of like, I wasn't training as hard, and I wasn't really caring as much as my mates did about footy at the time. But in my head, like I always thought, yeah, no, like I want to play footy. Like ever since I was a kid, I think like I always told my parents I wanted to move like to Brisbane or something and like play footy and do all that. But mum always wanted me to stay home and live in Cairns.
You mentioned the age between 13 and 16 where your friends were probably more interested in rugby league. Was there one moment where, you know, just flicked the switch where you're like, yeah, I want to make it now?
Yeah, I think when I was 16, and because I had to play union when I was that age, because
why do you say that with such like, oh, I had to play it? What do you say like that? Man, you know what I mean? I'm joking, bro.
I'd be disappointed too if I had to play rugby union. Don't worry.
You sound like a massive weight on your shoulders. Oh, I had to play union.
No, my dad loves union, but yeah, at that age in for Cairns, it was harder to make the league rep teams in Cairns. And I was kind of better at union at the time though. Like that was a thing. And I was like, I feel like I was a bit more confident because all the boys were making the league and there was more people. So I was kind of like, oh, like when I was a kid, it was kind of hard for me to make it, but I played union a lot more and I was making all of them rep teams for the union Cairns. So then I just kept playing union. And then when I was 16, I think the time that I kind of flicked the switch was I didn't make the rep team for Cairns. And it's kind of sad. I was calling the coach every day and I was like, oh, because a few boys got injured and I was like, do you reckon I'll get a crack? Because the coach was actually our club team coach for the rep team. And I was like, oh, like, do you reckon I'll get a crack? And he was just like, yeah. And then I think it got to one stage where it was between me and one other kid. And he picked the other kid over me. That just got me then. And yeah, I just started training hard. And then it's funny because my coach, the old coach I had, texted me the other day, like when I actually made my debut, and he told me that like he just remembers this, and it's like a moment that he said is pretty important, he reckons, to me. I know I had it in me, and yeah, just kept going forward.
Love hearing those stories.
Yeah,
man.
I know, bro. Just always knocking on doors, even when they get closed. You know, just keep saying, nah, even though you've said no here, I'm going to find another way to be noticed. And that's a big lesson for all kids listening, really, or everyone listening on that.
Tell us a bit about your Melbourne Storm experience. You know, what was it like when you went down there for yourself?
I was a young kid. I was 17. I think when I went down, I wasn't taking it as serious, but like, performance-wise, I was doing all right. I probably wasn't the fittest. I was a bit chubby at the time. We went down to camp. I scored, like, we had, like, a little trial game, and I thought I scored, like, a hat-trick in the little trial game in front of, like, the whole Storm team and, like, the coaches and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, I thought I played pretty good, and then I got, like, the worst feedback, and I was like, what? Like, I thought I was the man. I thought I played good and, like, all that, and then... Yeah, I didn't really take that experience seriously, and I wasn't like, I think I was just learning at the time. I was still young. I didn't really care about footy as much. And then, yeah, I think it was like our first trial game for the Falcons. We won, but I kind of had like a all right game. I was a bit silly. I was 17, and I just, yeah, after that, the Storm like saw that I wasn't training as hard, like not doing everything as right. I had a little incident where I was like, I think I was drinking, and they were just like, I think it was like a week before my birthday, I was drinking, and they were like, nah, like you're not doing everything you need to do. It was a really important lesson, because after that, like as soon as they dropped me, I remember like the next day, like I was in tears, they dropped me, and then the next day I just bang straight into training. I was doing gym on the field every day. I wasn't too sure about what my situation was, and my manager was just like, why don't you just go home and just go and just have a crack again and just start training hard, being at home with family. And then, yeah, came home and then had a year with the Pride. And then, yeah, straight away just moved down here to Townsville after that. And the funny, so Dane Campbell, he's with the Cowboys. He's the one who dropped me from Storm, I think. And then he moved to Cowboys. And then I think he saw that I was working harder and playing better. And then, yeah, he signed me back up and brought me to the Cows.
How hard was it to tell your mum and dad that you lost your contract due to, I guess, an off-field incident?
Oh, no, it was heartbreaking. I think I was so sad at the time. But no, my mum was just, she was so supportive. As soon as she heard it, like, she was obviously mad at me, but then she was like, you can do it, son. Like, it's all right. I know you can. And she just don't worry about it. Just move on. She said there's heaps of other NRL clubs. Like, you don't have to worry. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember the words that Dane, he actually told me that day. I think he was like, and this is the thing that made me like that sad. I think he said, we're not saying you can't play footy, but right now Melbourne Storm is in the club for you, like, to do this. And he was like, he just wished me the best. And then, yeah, I think that got to me. And then after that, yeah, that just pushed me.
Yeah, I loved the support from your family and your mother. That always helps after them situations. But the way that you bounce back, man, it's, you know, it goes to show your character and how you use that lesson to, you know, push you to be where you're at pretty much right now. I've seen you played for the PNG Kumuls before your NRL debut last year. What was that like? And did you have that, you know, being born in Papua New Guinea, you know, emotional attachment to that jersey and playing for that, for your country?
Oh, no, 100%. I feel like the whole week was kind of emotional. So I think we went around a circle in camp and we had to talk about where our family from and everything and, like, what it's been through. Like, I think everyone cried. Like, it was hard not to cry because you're just so attached to your family and, like, your whole country's behind you and everyone. And also, because everyone's just so in love with rugby league and especially, like, just playing for the Kumuls. Like, when you're a little kid, you just, growing up in PNG, you just have the dream of playing for the Kumuls, I guess. It's everywhere, like, literally everywhere, and posters everywhere. So it's hard not to be attached to that side of things. It's a pretty special camp, your first one. If I go on a camp again, it's always going to be something special. Like, a lot of the older boys told me, like, when I first got there, like, I wasn't really expecting much, but then, like, heading into the camp, I was just like, oh, it's just another footy camp and stuff. But then, yeah, the older boys always get around, like, because you're all from the same country, like, brothers, like, everyone's part of something there. So you just really bond with each other well, and, yeah, you just want to play for each other.
What got you the most? Being named in the team, receiving the jersey, or singing the anthem?
Definitely singing the anthem, like, running out and just, like, knowing you're representing everyone at home and singing the national anthem was, yeah, pretty special.
Obviously, you made your debut, what, about a week ago. Has that made you such a better person on and off the field by going through the experience and rubbing shoulders with the likes of, like, the PNG fellas in there?
Yeah, no, definitely. The whole week I was just, I think every time, because all the boys were just like, you need to try find a time to, like, soak it in and just kind of sit back. But, yeah, definitely tried my hardest to find times where I could just sit, call family, talk to them, like, about how everything's gone and, like, what I'm feeling. Yeah, like I said, I got a bunch of messages from, like, coaches and stuff and family that I, like, can remember how hard, like obviously going through specific things and setbacks and injuries and, like, all these things. And, yeah, definitely feels good going through all the things. And, yeah, no, I don't regret really anything that I've been through to get here. And I appreciate, like, definitely the lessons and all the hard times that contributed to me getting to that stage.
Just before we wrap it up, I just want to know, is it Dane Campbell? Is that who you said was at the Storm? What was it like for him when you made your debut? What, did you have any words with him about saying the Cowboys is your club?
Nah, but he's probably one of the closest people I have at the Cows because he knows, like, what I've been through and we've had a gone from the Storm and here. And nah, it's been unreal with him. And nah, he had some really good words for me, just tell me to enjoy it and just immerse myself in what the other boys are doing.
That's awesome. Oh, man, we appreciate you coming on the show here on Nijin Footy, our first Papua New Guinea athlete to join us. So thank you very much on behalf of everyone here.
Not too easy, man.
This is Nijin Footy.
Man, that's a pretty amazing insight there from Robert Derby. And what caught my eye the most was his resilience. Not when you receive that type of news that you don't want to hear, you can either go two ways. You can feel sorry for yourself, play the victim, and not persist any further. Or you take it as a lesson of like, okay, I'm moving forward with this. That's the line in the sand. I need to be better. And that those words from Dane Campbell, the Melbourne Storm recruitment guy at the time, to now being at the Cowboys who got him over for his debut, when he said to him, we're not saying you can't play footy, it's just the Storm isn't for you at this point in time. Like, when he said that, then I felt those words of like, oh, that would sting.
That would have hurt, yeah, definitely hurt, eh? Yeah, no, you're right. It's motivating to see how he overcame not only that moment, but also when he was 16 and he wasn't making those rugby teams that his friends were, and just using every challenge or setback as a wood on the fire, you know, throwing wood on the fire for him. So, yeah, it was just motivating to hear that story of his and to see where he is now, making his NRL debut only less than 2 weeks ago, and then seeing his mindset going forward from here on in.
Challenge of the week.
Yes, it's our challenge of the week, and it is getting to the back end of our show, and we always like to do our challenge of the week. So far, we've had a couple of bits of Nijan knowledge on our show. I must say, very ordinary from both of us. Even though it's fun, it's embarrassing that our knowledge is not up to scratch, and you decided to throw it back at me to have some more Nijan knowledge because you weren't happy with how you went last week.
Well, I just thought it was such a fun challenge that we just continue on and make it like a little bit of a series, an origin series kind of thing, you know. But I'll challenge you this week. The scores are, one, I'm on one. I should be on two because Tiana, I got
Tiana. You're, on one, you're either wrong or right.
And you're on 0.5. So there's going to be a winner eventually.
How did I get 0.5? I either got it, surely I got it right. What did I get right?
It was too long ago. I can't remember. 0.5, mate. 0.5.
Who's keeping score here?
But I wanted to do Nijan knowledge again just because, I enjoyed it, and two, our listeners can play at home.
So fair enough.
Let's kick it off.
Let's go. I've been studying again in Fiji. I was studying hard.
You had nothing but time on the beach underneath the coconut tree.
I was working.
You're working?
Yeah, mate.
That's what you tell your wife.
Multiple jobs. I've got multiple jobs. Anyway, let's
start. Right, question one. What is the width of a rugby pitch?
The width?
Yeah, I'll give you 2 metres up or down in that range, give or take.
Hang on. You got length or
width?
Width. Yeah, 70 metres.
It was 70 metres, 68 to 70 metres. So I'll give you that one. 1-0. Great work. All that study.
That was easy. Is that Nijan knowledge? What about, I thought you were going to say in Tonga, is it 70 metres? Because it's not. It's about 50 on a good day.
All right. Question number two. The Fijian legend, also Queensland legend, spell Petro Devon or Diva.
So go Petro, P-E-T-R-O. If, yeah, nah.
Come on, you're quarter Fijian. You should get this without even writing it down.
C-I-V-I-N-A-C-I-V-A.
Wrong. Mate, you're Fijian, brother. It is P-E-T-E-R-O. Petero.
Petero.
Devon or Diva. C-I-V-O-N-I-C-E-V-A.
I was well off.
I thought you would have that one.
Nah, if it was Tongan, I would have had it.
All right, here's another one.
Okay.
How many Samoans took the field last Wednesday night in State of Origin 1?
Jerome Luai, Payne Haas, Stephen Crichton, Hamasel Fitter Tabawai, Brian Tottle. That's 5. Murray Taulangi. So that's 6. 6 in total?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'm going with 6.
Who's the Tor Samoa captain?
Oh.
And?
Big Junior. 7.
The last name that you can't pronounce?
Fa'asua Maliawi.
There you go. So it was 8 in total. Oh. But you're close. You're close. Still wrong. 5 for New South Wales, 3 for Queensland. Great effort, though. I'll give you no points for that. Question four. Another, who am I? I was born in 1994 in Sydney, Australia. I went to Newington College and played first 15 for 3 years. Made my Super Rugby debut in 2014. Made my Wallabies debut in 2016. And was named after an Australian cricket captain.
2014 made his debut. Named after 2015, Newington. Oh, mate, I'm stumped here. I'm thinking hard. Have you got a... Can I ask the...
What, phone a friend?
Yeah, phone a friend question.
Yeah, go on.
What position was he?
A forward.
Is he Pacific Islander?
Yes, this is called Nisian knowledge.
It's got to, I'm going to get this wrong. It's going to absolutely bug me that I got this wrong. And I'm just thinking, there's Steve Smith. I got nothing. Can't even.
All right. The cricket captain was named, I'm not giving you this point, by the way. The cricket captain was named Alan Border.
Oh, Alan Alatoa went to Newington.
Yes, mate, he did.
He's also a Trinity boy.
Yeah. Well, Trinity it says grammar. On Wikipedia, Newington College. So there you go. 1 point still. On to my last one. What are you angry for? Relax, man. It's just a game.
Nah, I don't like that question. I'm off you. So let's
I was going to say he played for one club, but you would have got that straight away.
Yeah, that's just the Brumbies. Oh, yeah. Disappointed because I was thinking he went to Trinity Grammar School, Summer Hill.
Here we go. Last question. Just like the old egg thingy that you done last week with the things can't lay eggs.
The brain teaser.
We're on it, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Tino Fa'asua Maliawi has a long one. Brian To'o has a short one. The hammer doesn't use his. John Hopewadi always uses his. The ref never uses theirs. What is it?
Say it again.
Tino Fa'asua Maliawi has a long one. Brian To'o has a short one. The hammer doesn't use his. John Hopewadi always uses his. The ref never uses theirs. What is it?
It's the hyphen in their name.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
You're close. You're close. Very close. Very close. Think about it. Tino Fa'asua Maliawi has a long one. Brian To'o has a short one. The hammer doesn't use his. John Hopewadi always uses his. And the ref never used theirs.
Doesn't use his eyes, I know that. Something to do with the name. Oh, this is a good one too.
Ooh.
How long do we have on this show?
He's got to cut it up.
I know, he has to cut this all up.
So because he's about to cut it up, Sam's been trying to think of this answer for about 5 minutes now. And he's finally come to give me it, and it is...
Trump me.
Their surname. It was their surname. Tino Fa'asua Maliawi has a long one. Brian To'o has a short one. The hammer doesn't use his. John Hopewadi always uses his. Hopewadi has that many kids. We said it last week. Hopewadi always uses his.
Hang on.
The ref never used theirs.
What context do they not use their last name?
The ref. I said the ref. The ref.
No.
Mate, you only had to go off Tino Fa'asua Maliawi has a long one.
He has a last name.
Their surname.
They don't use them.
The ref never uses their name. We go, ref, tell me where.
Nah.
Explain. Oh, try and get this wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I'm glad we finished on that note because that was rubbish.
No, it wasn't,
that
mate.
One. I'm going to let everyone else decide. Our time is up for another week of Nisian Footy. We'll see you next Monday on ABC Radio Australia or listen anywhere, anytime, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite, Sammy.
See you later, T.